fires deep, middle of the field, intercepted. An incredible pick by Patrick Peterson.
Welcome to Arizona Cardinals Underground, presented by the Arizona Cardinals mobile app. Visit azcardinals.com/app.
Touchdown, Arizona!
The latest news and notes from the guys who cover the team.
Oh, baby! They can't block Calais Campbell.
Steps up, throws left side end zone. Roberts caught it!
No way!
Touchdown, Cardinals!
From Cardinals headquarters in Tempe.
Touchdown, Larry Fitzgerald!
This is football at its finest.
Here's Darren Urban.
Well, welcome to another edition of Cardinals Underground here on azcardinals.com. I'm Darren Urban. I'm joined again by Ron Wolfley. You are not Steve Keim, as we had last week. You are Ron Wolfley.
Hey, how did that go last week with Steve Keim?
I thought it went really well.
Really?
It went really well. You know, we had Steve on the podcast. He talked about, you know, how you're his hero. You really should go back and listen to it. It was fine audio entertainment.
Yeah, and you also actually sat down with Bruce Arians for Cardinals flight plan, didn't you?
I did. I took your place for 1 week.
How did that go? Because I actually heard some very good things, D, about your performance.
Well, I appreciate that. I thought it went very smoothly. I've gotten some compliments, but when it was over, Bruce did say, I really miss Ron Wolf.
Yeah, I'm sure he didn't say that. Now, where are we going in this beautiful podcast?
Well, we are going straight to a victory, Wolf, because this team stayed a week away in Florida, and it was a hot and humid day in Tampa, and it went rough most of the day. But when the game was over, they had a 13-10 win, and I suppose when's all said and done, that's the best part about it, is they got the win, and that's really the bottom line.
No, that is the bottom line, especially in the National Football League. You just don't get points for style. You don't. You get points for winning football games, and those points will get you into the postseason for winning football games. And look, I think right now you're 2-2. You've played one game at home. One game at home. You're 2-2. You've got Darrell Washington coming back. You've got to feel pretty good about coming out of September with a 2-2 record and with D. Wash coming back right now. The one thing I don't want to hear is that the Cardinals were lucky to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, because I do believe that they were lucky to be in the position to win the game, but there was no luck in how they won that game. They made plays, and it wasn't just somebody out there luckily scooping a ball out of the air or it bouncing around the ground. It was Patrick Peterson that started the real turnaround. The fourth quarter was much better, as we all know, offensively for the Cardinals, but it was Patrick Peterson's indescribable pick in a very indescribable situation, but it was his pick that turned that game. The very next play, Carson Palmer threw his best pass of the game to Larry Fitzgerald, and I would also offer that Larry Fitzgerald ran his best route of the game against Darrell Revis. And suddenly it's a 10-10 game. The Cardinals go on to win it. Lucky maybe to be in position to win it, based on how badly their offense played, but certainly not lucky to win it.
I know that Bruce Arians said after the game he felt like it was a true game where 53 guys contributed, or 46 as it would be with the inactive list. But you mentioned Patrick Peterson, you mentioned Larry Fitzgerald, and you know, ultimately sometimes your stars have to be stars, and it felt like down the stretch in the second half offensively with Fitz, that your stars were stars, and that was something the Cardinals could lean on. And let's face it, Larry had a very good game in St. Louis to start the year, but that's really the first time Patrick's really shown up, and it was a big deal for them.
No, that is. That's a great point right there. An old coach of mine used to say that great players made great plays in great games. And you know what? That's exactly what happened for the Cardinals. They did have their clutch players, guys they're counting on, come through and make plays. And I also want to talk about some of the young guys that did show up. It really was a 53-man effort, or in this case, not 53, of course, but 47. But, you know, to me, to your point, I would have to say that Larry Fitzgerald being able to move around, play the X, the Z, and the H in the slot, I think is starting to pay off in a big way. That first half of the Tampa game, no targets.
Crazy.
Yeah, and no receptions. And suddenly he shows up in a big way in the second half. And I think a lot of that is because they were trying to bracket him. They were trying to double him. They were playing him high and low. And, you know, you just can't do that as readily if you're moving a guy around. And that certainly showed up, I think, in the second half. And, yeah, Carson Palmer, too. Here's a guy you're counting on, right? Really counting on. And he didn't look good through three quarters. Now, I know we can talk about protection. We can talk about, you know, the fact that he had guys in his face. And the Tampa Bay is a very good rush team, number 8 in sacks per attempt coming into that game against the Cardinals. You could talk about all of that. But in the end, Carson Palmer was 7 of 12. 7 of 12 in the fourth quarter for 86 yards and a touchdown. And the definition of a gamer, a competitor, is a guy who goes out, throws two interceptions, and yet comes back and plays his best when you absolutely needed it the most.
He had a passing rating of 108.3 in that fourth quarter. And I think what sticks with me, Ron, and I was down on the field by the time the touchdown pass happened, so I didn't get to see it as well as I did later in highlights and watching the video. And I totally agree. The route Fitz ran, which was basically a fake in, fake out, go back in, and just totally had Darrell Revis off balance.
We call that post corner post.
It was awesome. And the fact that Carson Palmer delivered that ball, I mean, that was not an easy play. Moving up in the pocket, there were guys near him. I mean, that was an impressive throw.
No, it was an impressive throw. And I would say if you go back and look at it, to watch that game in the second half, Carson Palmer made some unbelievably good throws in that game in the face of pressure. And, you know, the other thing I want to say, too, is we were talking about some of the younger guys actually stepping up and making plays. Let's pick one on the defensive side of the ball, Dante Moak.
Yeah.
Dante Moak, you've got to be kidding me. You've been in how many practices? How many meetings was Dante Moak in? For him to go out and play as well as he did, that is just unimaginable to me. And then on the offensive side of the ball, I would say Jerron Brown making that one catch,
yes,
his one bright, shining catch to come down with that ball, Deshaun Goldson with a helmet-to-helmet hit. But that was one of Carson Palmer's more indescribable throws as well.
We'll get to the defense in a minute because they were obviously very, very good. And I think they've come a long way. But I don't want to leave the offense just yet. Bruce Arians on Monday opened his press conference with his normal monologue, kind of covering a lot of general things, talked about how great the defense was, talked about how great the special teams was. Then he said, offensively, we were putrid.
Yeah.
Now, you don't hear that from a head coach very often,
no,
that kind of blunt, brutal honesty. But the reality is, up until, well, first half for sure they were putrid, and they moved the ball a little bit, but they were giving the ball away on the interceptions where they couldn't afford to. You know, this offense, I don't even know. In two wins, they have converted 2 of 21 for third down conversions.
Unbelievable.
Which I don't even know how you do. Obviously, third down's been an issue. Bruce Arians called it sticky on Monday. That's a sticky situation right now, the third downs. But are you surprised at all at this point that they seem to still be kind of finding themselves offensively? There's been a couple times even when it looks like receivers are – even guys like Fitz are like not sure where they should be lined up or if they should be in this certain formation. I'm a little surprised.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm totally surprised by that. And apparently so is Bruce Arians and his coaching staff. They were talking about this very thing, that they really examined themselves and the offense they're running and called each other out as coaches and said, hey, are we putting too much? And I'm paraphrasing here, but they were saying, are we putting too much on the players? Are we expecting too much out of them to be able to know the offense and understand it the way we do? And they came to the conclusion that no, they weren't doing something that was too difficult or not reasonable at all. So that is a surprise to me. The MEs, the mental errors that they're making right now, sabotaging themselves and the success of the offense. And you could point to the very first play of that Tampa Bay Buccaneer game. Go back to that game last week and talk about the very first play. And there's Gerald McCoy, just didn't even run a stunt, didn't run any type of twist or game, just took a step to the inside, and there was a mental error. I don't know if it was Paul Fanica, don't know if it was Eric Winston, but somebody made a mental error and just allowed him to walk right in and sack Carson Palmer on the very first play of the game. It's those kind of things that has got the coaches scratching their butts right now, and some of the things you can't accept. You just can't accept those mental errors.
On the other side of the ball, defensively, you know, I think there was a couple moments early where a lot of the fan base, and we all know how popular Ray Horton was with the fans, and obviously he had put together a very good defense. But it felt like, in my opinion, that a lot of people wanted to jump on Todd Bowles without really giving him a chance to see what was going to happen. And I think as this has kind of gone on, when you factor in the injuries, and I know the Cardinals played a rookie quarterback last week, and we all know Tampa does not have a very good offense, but I think their defense has really played pretty well. Even in New Orleans, if their offense had done anything, I think their defense would have been okay. I think they just wore down at the end. And again, we watched the Saints rip up the Dolphins last night. Saints playing at home, they're going to rip up a lot of teams.
Yeah.
So it seems to me their defense is in, again, especially when you factor in the injuries, in a pretty good place.
Yeah, you know, I want to go back to that New Orleans Saints game because it was 17-7 going into the fourth quarter. Yeah. I think if you started that game and you asked Todd Bowles and you asked Bruce Arians, you know what, we'll take that. 17-7 with the opportunity to go in and beat the Saints in the fourth quarter. And you got to remember how long the defense was on the field in that game. The offense not performing well after that first possession where they took it right down the field, not performing well. The defense was on the field a lot, and that's where it shows up in the fourth quarter. I think they just ran out of gas. I think overall right now you have to say the biggest area of improvement on this team is the box, the line of scrimmage, and in particular against the run.
Yeah.
Being able to hold up against a team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you can say, yeah, their offense isn't good. You can say they went ahead and played a rookie quarterback with Mike Glennon, and that's all true. But Doug Martin is good, and that offensive line is good. It's a very, very good, solid offensive line, and in particular, it's a great run-blocking offensive line with the guys they have inside. So I just could not be any more impressed. Coming into this season, that was the biggest question mark I had. The defense in general, how would it perform? Had a lot of new faces back there, a lot of new starters back there, had a brand new defensive coordinator. And in particular, how would they hold up against the run? Because they were number 28 in the NFL last season and number 22 in yards per carry allowed last season. You put those two things together, yards per game allowed and yards per carry allowed, you are what you are. Well, you could say it on the flip side right now for the front seven for Big Red. You could say it on the flip side because they're number 2 in yards per game allowed and number 3 in yards per carry allowed. Those numbers do not lie. They do not deceive. And that's including Deshaun Goldson's fake punt that should have never been. And I forget how many yards he 22. Ran for. 22. There you go, D. This is why you're here. All right? 22 yards right there. You got to be kidding me.
Well, you mentioned new faces on the defense. So now we have, and you mentioned it a little bit earlier, a new face. It's really an old face as Darrell Washington comes back off his suspension. You have Carolina coming in this week, a home game, an important home game, especially looking at the schedule going ahead. And you put Darrell Washington in the middle of this defense. It would seem to me, and Bruce Arians already said, Darrell Washington will be starting, which I think there was a little bit of question mark coming right off the suspension and where he was in the preseason. But he will be starting, and I think he can make a big impact on this defense.
Oh, my goodness. You're talking about the Arizona Cardinals' best defensive player, in my opinion. Patrick Peterson and Darrell Washington. Those two guys. And, you know, I don't know where you begin and how you try to quantify what he means to this defense. But anytime you can take a guy that has the ball skills that he has, that can run the way he does, that can hold up against a tight end, a running back coming out of the backfield, a guy you can line up in the A-gap, and he's a very, very good blitzer from there, a guy that you can even bring from the corner, and a guy that is a tackling machine. You know I call him the Jägermeister, right?
He's a manhunter
is what he is, a master hunter. He's a guy that is the best tackler, I think, on the team. And you know what? He's going to have a massive impact. And the biggest impact would be probably in leadership. Talking to Todd Bowles, Todd Bowles will tell you that the one guy on that defense that not only does, in other words, goes out and makes plays, but the one guy on that defense that will call some of his other teammates out, maybe even get in another guy's face and say, it's time for you to start playing. We got to start balling. The one guy that really shows that leadership on a consistent basis is Darrell Washington.
You know, they got somebody else coming back this week, nose tackle Dan Williams, after the tragic death of his father in the car accident right before the New Orleans game. He's been gone since then. You wonder a little bit emotionally how Dan is going to be and emotionally how this defense is going to hold up now that he comes back in the building.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a big boost to Dan. This is just me personally. I think it's going to be a big boost to his spirits to get back around his second family, if you will, and be around his teammates. And there's no right or wrong way for a man to respond. People are different. Some people will go out and dedicate the rest of the season to his father and the memory of his father. And some guys will just be forlorn, just still morose, affected by such a tragedy. And there's no right or wrong way to answer that question. Everyone is different. So hopefully Dan will use it and try to turn it into something positive in his life. But the one thing you also could say is, Alameda Ta'amu?
Yeah.
This guy has shown up.
Agreed.
Shown up in a big way. And the Cardinals may have stumbled into something really, really good here. He's played in his second game last week against Tampa. That's it. Second game. And yet this guy is holding the point of attack and making plays. And the coaches are raving about him.
Well, as we wrap up this edition of Cardinals Underground, and we were talking about it before we got started, Wolf. This is a big game, this Carolina game, with two games in 5 days against your division opponents after that. I mean, you really need to get this one against the Panthers. They're a good team. They're coming off a bye. The last game they played, they smoked the Giants 38-0. But they're coming into your building, and you really need to take care of business.
Yeah, you really do. And when you talk about the Carolina Panthers, you're talking about their running backs, their running game, but you're talking first and foremost about Cam Newton. And Cam Newton scares me. I think every other Cardinal fan, it seems like we play Carolina every year.
It feels like that, yes.
For some reason, we play him every year, and Cam Newton has had some really big games against the Cardinals. So that is an area of concern, definitely, but it's their defense. Nobody talks about their defense. A very, very underrated defense. Held the Seattle Seahawks to 12 points when they played them opening, week one in Carolina. I believe it was opening week, but still, you know, I mean, to me, the Cardinals are going to have to play well. There are no easy games in the National Football League. There are none. That's why it doesn't matter how you win. Just win, baby, win. And 13-10, we'll take that in Tampa last week. Take 13-10 in an ugly game and an ugly win over the Panthers on Sunday.
I feel like we just came full circle. That was done really well. Nice job, Ron Wolfley. It's like you're a professional broadcaster.
Yeah, sleepy and delirious.
All right, for Ron Wolfley, I'm Darren Urban, and this has been another edition of Cardinals Underground on EasyCardinals.com.